Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 53. That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds all right.
We have the long-awaited Cam Maben interview.
Before we bring him in, Ian, who are we presented by?
Oh, presented by Parse Rum. Everybody loves Parse. Cam actually got a bottle of Parse. Remember that? You got a bottle of Parse.
Delicious. It was quite delicious. It had some Knox in it, and you know, it did me right. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that love. It's good stuff.
But we were super pumped. Really special because Zach and Cam got traded for each other.
Zach, hey, man, I'm sorry to do it. I'm not sorry or you're welcome or I don't.
Yeah.
What do we do? What do we do here?
I mean, it was I took it as a compliment getting traded for you, who was a big leaguer. So, I mean –
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
I appreciate your hard work for being a big leaguer for so long.
You know what, and the feeling is mutual, man. I spent a lot of quality time with Detroit. You know, I think we all know that. So, you know, it was nice for me to know you let me hit another team, you know, on this journey of mine. So I'm excited, man. It's cool. I look good in royal blue too.
Ian, I mean, we got to talk about right away how you say all you do whenever we talk about Cam is how he's your favorite teammate of all time, how happy you are that we traded for him, basically saying like, I hate you, Zach. I'm glad you're gone.
Literally before that, like we talked about my feelings of getting traded, Hap went on like a 20-minute rant of how happy he was to have you and basically sounding like, oh yeah, Zach, good luck. But yeah, Cam is awesome. He is the best.
It was quite awkward. It was a little awkward for me too, Zach, because when I came, I'm like, yo, man, I heard about your podcast. This thing is awesome, man. Like, you know, I would love to, you know, get on and, you know, maybe I can even help you out sometime. He's like, yeah, pretty sure we just traded you for, you know, my co-host and one of my good buddies. And I was like, ooh, I don't know how he's going to take that. So maybe I'll just come on as a guest and say it. So I didn't, that was before I actually officially met you. So, you know, this is all you, man. I just want to be a guest. You know, I'm glad to be a part of this amazing thing that you guys have created. So,
Cam is the best teammate, and I will keep saying great things about him because playing the outfield with him is my favorite thing. And we lined up yesterday to actually be in the game together. I think it was the first time, right, Cam? This spring.
It was, yeah.
And yeah, man, I was just so happy when they signed you back, and I love it so much. And then Zach, every time I say that, look at Zach's face. He's just upset.
That's all I love, Zach. It's okay.
Does it hurt a little bit?
You know, Zach would love me too because, you know, I just, you know, my job is to make everybody feel amazing, bro. You know, whether it's a birthday, whether it's just waking up, man. I mean, like right now, Zach, you look great. I know, you know, you got your I don't even know what you call the results of the test, but you look great, buddy. Like you're glowing right now. You know what I'm saying? So
I appreciate that. That means a lot. I've had a rough few days.
Join the club.
I really appreciate it.
Zach, can you take everybody through your last couple of days? And you don't have to – we can edit out the end part, but just like the hit in the face and everything.
Yeah, you know, I was backing up a game the other day. You know, I haven't really gotten too many ABs. You know, beginning of spring training, especially this year, we're not playing all nine-inning games. And – backing up against the Blue Jays and, you know, take the first pitch. I've never seen this guy before, kind of throwing pretty hard, take it. And I think it was a strike, took it. And I was like, damn, I feel good. Like, that's a good take. You know, it was up and in. I don't really handle that up pitch very well, but I tracked it the whole way. I was like, okay, I saw that. Great. I was like, you know, in the back of my mind, hey, he threw first pitch fastball for a strike. He might come off speed here. And so I saw it coming up in that same kind of tunnel up and in. And before I knew it, I was on the ground. Head was spinning, helmet was flying all over the place. And then, so I mean, whatever,
C flap literally
saved your life,
which, for people that don't know,
I sent a video to them, and like, literally, if I didn't have the C flip on, I'd still be on the ground because I was not moving.
Yeah, and for the fans that don't know exactly what the C flap is, it is when you see the big league helmet that has the earpiece and then the part that comes down and protects the chin. That Zach wears one of those, and it got him right in like the last saving piece of plastic that could have saved his life.
Yeah, and you can see like there's like a little crack on it too, and it's like right where the earpiece ends and right where the C flap starts. And that was like the first thing I looked at when I got back into the locker room. I was like, all right, where did this ball actually get me? And I still be on the ground now because there's no way I was getting up after that.
Did you have a question, Cam, about it?
Yeah, I did, you know, because it's just something that I've always kind of wondered, you know, and I'm knocking on wood because I've never been a big, you know, protection guy, elbow guard. If I wear it, it's like solely for like aesthetics, you know what I'm saying? It's all about, when I wear this stuff, it's just all about the flow for me. But I like wonder, you know, one of my good buddies, you know, Big G, Giancarlo got hit a few years back by Mike Friars. And, you know, I always wondering, I've never been a guy to get hits a lot. And I almost wonder, like, you know, it's like you put it out there, like you know, you wake up and it's like, don't, you know, speak things out into the universe, you know, positive things. So my whole thing, like, what if we don't wear one of those things? You know, it's like the law of attraction kind of, you know what I mean? Like, 100%. It makes me wonder, like, you know, you guy wears an elbow guard, he gets smoked in his elbow guard, like,
all the time. That's like KB. You know, KB gets hit in the elbow guard once a week.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I watched Derek Dietrich, like, you know, he's just like, you know, elbow guard, and it just gets drilled every game. You know, I'm just like, what if we take that off?
And then you never get hit in the elbow ever again.
And then you just never get hit again. You know, it's like law of attraction, you know?
I feel like that's
just a thought.
That's
I'm glad
the same,
you're safe. I'm glad you're okay, but.
That's the same thing with the shin guard for me. Whenever I see someone wearing a shin guard, they foul it off the inside of their leg, and it always seems to miss the shin guard still.
Though. You know
like
what I'm saying?
They'll have the shin guard on, and it'll hit him in the toe.
Well, I started wearing it in double A. I think, like, I got hit in the head kind of, like, close together in a series. And I literally said, like, I'm never stepping in the box again without one of these on. And, like, they had one more in my size. And I was like, well, I'm telling you, like, if I didn't have this, I would have played the concussion card and started walking funny because I was like, there's no way I'm getting back in the box. Like, and then in 2019, like, I got hit and I broke my hand. I got hit by a pitch. And so now I wear a hand guard.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe you're just a magnet. You're a ball magnet.
And I've never been one to get hit by pitches either. And now all of a sudden I am a magnet. And
you're not close to the plate either. You're not really someone that crowds it.
Right. And that was like the video I sent them the video of me getting hit. And it's literally like somebody was like sitting with a sniper and just had my head locked and loaded, ready to go. Like that ball was
nowhere
like,
to go.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah, I think that's – if people don't realize that when a right – when it's a right on right at bat and that right-hander throwing a two-seamer, it's like a tracer. It's following you. Like you're in there trying to hit it, and the ball's coming towards you, and you can't get out of the way fast enough because even as you're moving away from the pitch, it's following you right in there.
And, Ian, exactly. I know you say switch hitting is very hard, especially on the mind, but you will never have to face right on right or left on left, and you are – so lucky.
It's really hard. Now I'll say this and I'm going to get smoked in the head, but it's really hard for a opposite armed pitcher versus batter, you know, right on left, left on right, to yank a ball up and in towards your face.
Yes.
Like if they're going to yank it, it's usually going to be down. It's going to be a breaking ball at the shins or the knees, but the like pulled heater up and in basically has to be intentional. Like it's really hard for that to happen.
Yeah, you're making me want to go back to switching right now.
I can't think of a single time I've hit a lefty up and in, knock on wood. But, yeah, I don't think you can really miss and, like, pull across your body that much unless you're, like, a submarine guy, I guess, and, like, coming up and across.
Yeah, but you're not – it's like if you get hit by the opposite arm guy, it's usually, like, the ass or lower.
Yeah.
You're not looking out for your face. Deck, did you also get hit by a ground ball?
That's his own fault, though. Don't let him tell you any different. That's the hands are sleeping.
All right, so I missed, like, so after I got hit in the head, I did nothing the next day just for, like, concussion protocol stuff, kind of just seeing how I move around, whatever, I was fine. And then the next day, so yesterday, I'm doing early work, and infielders with the Tigers, at least we're on our knees, just doing hand stuff, trying to like, you know, pick out your hop. And, I mean, it's tough. We're on dirt and, you know, it's early in the morning. The fields aren't really manicured. They're still kind of hard. And I mean, you see it coming the whole time. Like the infielders kind of joke around. We're just like, all right, who's wearing one today? And like, nobody has up to this point. So of course somebody has to do it. So whatever I'm doing on my knees. And I mean, I'm literally not thinking of getting hit. Like, even though I just got hit in the head the other day, I was like, I'm kind of over it. Like, it wasn't even a thought in my mind. And I see this ball, you know, it's tracking again. And I'm just like, well, this is an in-between hop. Like, I mean, I either got to go get it or I got to go play. I got to play back. And I went and tried to go get it and press through it. And, you know, pressing through as an infielder, like getting the short hop. And it kind of hits off my heel and just smokes me like directly in the mouth. Oh. And I turn around. I'm just like, I'm done. I mean, I'm taking it to the house. There's no way I'm fielding another ground ball today.
As a former infielder who doesn't take ground balls anymore, I hated drill work where you couldn't move your feet because I didn't have the best hands. Like a guy like Javi has unbelievable hands. Like I didn't have the best hands. I had to use my feet to move to the hop or else I was just going to wear it because I use a big glove. I'm trying to use one hand, trying to catch it. I'm just trying to knock it down, playing linebacker out there, trying to block balls. And so if I wasn't using my feet to move to the ball, it was over. So when they would put you on your knees and hitting smoke balls at you or like say, oh, wide stand there. I was like, you're going to get me killed. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to have kids. I'm not going to have any teeth left by the end of this.
It's funny. Like I'm lucky. I didn't chip any teeth or anything like that, but my lip is so cut up on the inside and I just can't stop playing with it. And it's so annoying.
Last spring training or two spring trainings ago when I was still infielder, I was taking ground balls at second base, like back-to-back days. I'm doing the, back cage work with Brian Butterfield, former infield coach, using flat gloves. We use flat gloves. So there's no pocket. So you're trying to knock the ball down. A pancake glove. So one of them just kind of a funny, I'm trying to get my head behind a backhand, like really stick your face in there. You can do it. One ball hops up off the back of the glove right in the eye socket. Yep. If it touched my eyeball, I'm like, oh my God. Oh God.
You go out. I'm heading to the outfield. Enough of this.
We were just talking about our conversation. You know, I was watching guys take infield balls the other day and I'm asking, do you miss this at all? Cause the outfield is so nice. You can count the hops as they come. You can play everything to the side. You can get your, you know, your Olé going. I love it. You know, I gave up the infield long ago when the first day coach asked, hey, our center fielder's not here. Does anybody want to go to the outfield? And it was like, hand up. I'm good. I'm over this. I don't want to field another ground ball on the dirt another day of my life. So I don't know how you guys do it. I'm definitely, you know, if I was a guy coming into the game now, I would definitely be leaning towards that, Swiss Army knife. Like, yeah, like I can play some outfield a little bit. I don't want to get.
Yeah, I'm predominantly outfield, but, you know, if you're really needing to play infield, I will. But, you know.
Well, Zach, that's like when they try to get you to play third and you're like, no shot. You won't see me at third base.
We were playing the other day at the Pirates place. Cam, I don't know if you remember that place at all. The infield is literally like you're on a green on a golf course. I swear to God, the grass is like this high. And I was talking to Spencer Torkelson, who's our first rounder last year. And I mean, he's awesome. Got I don't know if you got to know him at all.
Great dude.
Great dude. Yeah. Great guy. So he's playing third at some point and we were in BP and he's like, bro, I'm literally going to be standing in left field. Cause that is like, I mean, it was like, and he's playing third and he was like, bro, I have so much time because this ball is going to be hit so hard at me. And like, third base is a completely different world to begin with. And when you're playing on grass that is like this thin.
Yeah, it's like playing in the street. You might as well take ground balls on the concrete, you know, and the parking lot.
Exactly. Especially if you're backing up in a spring training game where it's 85 degrees and you're literally playing.
Yeah, by the time you get out there, that field, what'd you say, manicured? It's not manicured as well anymore. I like that word we used earlier. It's not very manicured at that point in the game.
Cam, how do you feel about Arizona versus Florida spring training?
That's a great question. I love Arizona spring training. I mean, you can't beat, you know, I think our longest trip is 30 minutes. I mean, you know, you literally wake up in Florida praying that you don't get that long road trip. And it's like, even with that said, it's like, you know, you're going to have to make a, a few 2-hour trips. I mean, being in Lakeland, I was in Lakeland last year. Me and Zach had a chance to switch spots, and he's learning really soon. It's like Fort Myers, geez.
See, we got lucky this year. They condensed the schedule. We only play like 5 teams. And I think Sarasota, we went there last night, and I think that's the furthest trip.
Yeah, you're so lucky. I mean, I had to drive to Fort Myers last year, and I'm like, you know, veteran guy trying to – but you like, you can't get out of those trips. It doesn't matter who you are unless you're Miggy.
No.
I think Miggy's like the only guy who's not making those trips, which, you know, is deservedly so, but – I'll take Arizona any day, any of the year. You can't beat it. Not to mention it's 70 and breezy right now. Like I broke a sweat. Well,
you sweat more than anybody I've ever met. You and Jay.
You're right. I'm usually glistening, but it's not a miserable sweat.
We had our first away game, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're gonna take BP there, and I'm just like, where are we going? What do you mean we're taking
Wheels
BP
up at
there?
7:30. Yeah.
It's like, what? And they're like, yeah, bring your street clothes for after. We're going to shower there. I'm like, what do you mean? How far is this place? It's like, oh, yeah, it's 1:30. Like,
that's a short trip for you, too.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was. Somebody in camp the other day was like, yeah, do we ever go take BP at the other team's place?
It was literally me.
I was like, no.
Like, I'm used to literally at 8 o'clock just heading straight to where we got to go and doing everything there. I mean, the whole routine. So, you know, I was asking somebody the other day, we're going 15 minutes down the road to play somebody. I'm like, hey, like, are we meeting there? What are we doing? It's like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, everything's here. Everything's 15 minutes away. So, yeah.
It's like a Little League game. You put your bag on your back and you show up and you go play.
Literally. I even thought about literally going home in my uniform the other day. I'm just going to go home in my uniform. This is not a great spring training day for your boy Cam Maven, but
Cam,
it's spring training for a reason.
Cam, do you have any good Miguel Cabrera stories? Because we try to get Zach every week to tell a good Miggy story.
I got a Miggy story, and I love Miggy so much. I hope he – but, you know, it was a story that I heard, actually. You know, I was traded for Miggy and Dontrell Willis back in 07. So I had a chance to meet him on the way out and whatnot. And I got a chance to hear him.
So, wait, so that was your second – that was the second biggest trade you've been a part of between
for
us.
Sure,
right?
For
that,
sure. I think it's a close first. I don't know. I got – you mean, come here and be my boy Happer is – it's pretty high on my career totem pole list. So, but I used to hear about Miggy, the younger Miggy, and he kind of laughs. You ask him the story about him maybe getting on the plane in his younger, wilder days, and somehow before that plane landed, he ended up with no clothes on, apparently. That's a story that he swears, no, Papa, it didn't happen like that. But all I know is he lost his clothes on a flight going somewhere, and it was a pretty good ordeal. But he's the best. I'm sure you said already. He's the best. Always laughing. Always, you know, happy. Always messing with everybody. So, I mean, the dude is a character.
That is the book on him. That's the book. As soon as like they walk in there, they're just like, yeah, he's a huge teddy bear.
He's a big 17-year-old. He's a big, he's a big kid.
I'm trying to get Zach to go like pick up his bats and like try one out when he's like in the cage, not looking.
But they feel terrible. Uh-uh. He has they're horrible.
I don't think
they're hard as a rock. I mean, come on. But
I mean, yeah, sand bats, right?
That model is made for him. I mean,
it only comes from the best Canadian trees up there where sand bat makes their stuff.
Seriously, he's getting straight from the like that tree too.
The center, like the center, hardest part of the tree.
The hardest one in the woods for sure. Like he's getting the good stuff.
He's been with sand bat forever, right?
Forever. Him and Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Cam, favorite spring training you've ever had with a team? Like as far as experience, because you've been with enough teams, you've seen so many different spring training atmospheres.
Yeah, you're right. I have. And let me go on a limb to say that I have not had a favorite spring training. I hate spring training. a whole lot. Not really my favorite thing. But this is you know what? After coming off of a pandemic, still in the midst of a pandemic, I really, truly, and I mean this, I love being here, man. I love everything that Rossi, you know, has going on in camp. The staff is great. This is probably the first camp, the first organization that I've been a part of that literally treats you as a big leaguer. You know, they treat you like a professional athlete. It's very much a sense of, you know, you guys know what you need to do to get ready, and they expect you to do it. And if something's lacking, then it's solely on you. You know, I think that is huge, because I think we've all been, well, maybe you guys haven't, but I've been through a lot of, you know, camps and a lot of eyewash, a lot of Visine on the field, you know, doing a lot of goofy stuff that makes no sense. But again, here I just enjoy, like, you get what you need. You get what you, like, what you think is going to help you at the end of the day. And I love that accountability. So, and then I get to see Happer every day. You know, I get, yeah, Jay Hay and Happer, just like two of my Riz. I pretty much raised Riz. Nobody knows that. Like, these guys are great. These guys, you know, like, not too many groups better than this group that I've been around. And I mean that. I mean, even from last year, new guys coming in. I'm big on character. I'm a big character guy, and it's a lot of really good characters in this clubhouse right now, and vibes have been pretty good. So this is definitely one of my favorites.
So I was going to say,
the way they run things is, you know, it's pretty amazing over there. But
Cam, I don't know if you know this about Dakota, but he is a massive Yankee fan.
I grew up a diehard Yankees fan. I'm not anymore, Ian. You don't
can,
say
you
I
can
am.
Still be, bro. That's great. I have nothing but amazing stuff to say about that organization. Hat knows. I enjoyed every second that I spent with those guys over there. It's a great organization.
You were there.
That was 19.
In 19.
2017?
Yeah. Well, that's 19, not 2017. I was on the other team.
I was gonna say you were with the Astros, right?
That beat those guys. And let me go ahead and throw it out there. You know, I didn't trade myself to those guys. You know, I was picked up trade deadline. I was there for a month. I hit 182. All right. So didn't get the memo.
Any help.
Let me just throw that out there. I was hit 182. All right.
That's unreal.
Speaking of the Astros, you know, I've got to know AJ Hinch a little bit spring, obviously. I mean, he seems so, like you said, pro, you know, just like no eyewash. You know, I've been in only a few spring trainings, but like just the way he goes about his business, you know, I'm sure it was the same before everything happened with him. And he's just like, I heard it the other day, like he's just such a winner, you know, like with the way that he's preparing everybody for spring, like the way that the schedule is laid out, it's just everything is for a purpose and with a purpose, you know, like, hey, you know, the Tigers obviously weren't great the last however many years, but it's like, if you put that in your mind that like, hey, we're on the way to winning. And it's just like the way that everybody goes about their work. And I truly believe that it comes from, you know, the top down, and he's a leader with that. And it's been really cool to see him, you know, just go about everything in spring with his first spring.
Yeah, I had the chance to speak with AJ before when he first, you know, agreed to come to the Tigers. And I thought it was a great move. I know a lot of stuff has went on, but they really got a brilliant baseball mind. I mean, I've said it before. He's probably top five baseball minds that I've ever been around. I think Al did a great job of making sure they got a guy like AJ, because he is a bright, bright guy, man.
And he's already done. Exactly. Was he with the Astros when they turned the franchise around, or did he come in as those guys were coming up?
He was the part of
the whole rebuild process.
He was a huge, huge part of that, man. And, I mean, he helped develop a winning culture there. I mean, like, you can say what you want. I mean, he helped develop a winning culture, as well as Alex Cora. Again, top five. The two guys, you know, together. I've never been around, you know, too many more guys that have a more brilliant mind than those two men as far as making baseball moves. And then you want to play for those guys. Those guys, you've seen it already. You want to go out and play for AJ. You know, he's a great communicator. And that gets really lost nowadays, you know, with this generation.
No, that's huge. That was one of the first, when I introduced myself, like one of the first days of camp, you know, we talked and he understands, you know, like I'm not this huge prospect guy growing up, you know, like, and he's like, hey, you know, I've been in your spot before where you're going to be backing up a bunch of games, but he's like, I want to be the communicator for you. Like, hey, here's the schedule. Here's when you're going to go in. It's like, you know, I don't want you being on the bench. Like, hey, fuck, am I going in today? Am I not going in today? And he's just like, communication with me is the number one thing. And that's huge for, like I said, someone like me who's not going to start many games, especially in spring, when you kind of have that idea of when you're going in and when you're
no,
not.
Nobody wants to be ambushed ever. That's the worst.
Yeah, doesn't matter when, how, just never want to be ambushed.
Seriously.
Damn, how is it getting traded, what was it, three times to and from the Tigers?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean,
do they want you or don't they want you? They can't.
Honestly, though, you know, funny coming in last year, Zach, you know, I did that just so you could make a move because I knew coming into the season, hey, I'm signing with these guys. You know, Al, me and Al have a really good relationship. And he just told me, like, you play well, you're probably going to get traded. Like, we're probably going to try to get something in return. So, this, you know, last year was a little bit different. So, let me go ahead and say, I should have called you before and just let you know, like, something's probably going to happen at some point. You know, I ended up playing well. And sure enough, it was like, hey, yeah, we're trading you to the Cubs. So, it's
that would have been the only communication I had last year if you would have told me something was happening.
So it's kind of crazy, man. Being, like I said earlier, I think for me, it meant a lot to me at the end of the day that they brought me back three times because I really, you know, there comes a time in your career you guys aren't close to it yet where, you know, less teams want you. So to have a team not only, you know, draft me, trade back for me, and then re-sign me again, I think it says a lot about the person that I try to be, you know, how I try to carry myself and conduct myself. Because I think, you know, we all can agree that no team is going to bring a guy back three times if he's a turd, you know what I mean? So I just keep it simple. So, again, for me, it means a lot. You know, it says a lot about my character. And that's what I'm really, really big on. You know, my legacy when I'm done, I want it to be about, you know, like this guy really changed my life. He really helped, you know, bring some positive energy when I was pissed the fuck off or whatever it may be. This dude was always a bright spot. So I think that says a lot about what the Tigers did.
Is that something that you've always done or did you learn that playing with guys coming? I mean, you were in the big leagues at 20. We were all in college grinding.
Yeah.
You were in the big leagues at 20. Like, how is that something that from day one you were all in on or is it something that you learned along the way?
Well, I mean, honestly, bro, I've always been a guy through high school, through middle school that I really took pride in, like, you know, who's the kid that's sitting by himself at the lunch table? You know, like, go speak to him. No, just, you know what I mean? Like, it sucks to see, like, I hate seeing people down or in a bad spot. So I've always been kind of guy like, I'll talk to that kid or I'll talk to that person and nobody wants to talk to him. Like, the guy that everybody usually, like, can't stand in the locker room, I'm usually, like, the guy who befriends that guy because it's like, nobody deserves that. I mean, we've all had that guy. It's like, this guy's a fucking nerd. Like, this guy stinks. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I always try to take a second, honestly, to wonder how somebody may have been brought up, how they might have been raised. You know, I always use Bryce Harper as an example, and I don't know him, but I go, could you imagine at 13 being told that you're better than, like, professional ball players? Like, I can imagine how that might have, you know, impacted my molding. Like, I'm probably going to think I'm the shit, you know, like, rightfully so. Bryce Harper is amazing, but I think, you know, again, you've been told that you're the man since you were 13. You're probably going to carry yourself a different way, you know, so I'm not going to be off of Bryce Harper because he's super confident and he's a great player when he's been told that for his whole life. So I always try to take, you know, what, you know, how did NHAP come up? You know, how did, you know, I try to see how people tick before I, you know, make an assumption on how that person is, you know what I mean? And try to look at what they might have went through before I, you know, write them off or not. So that's kind of how I always been, man. I try to take people for exactly who they are. And, you know, everybody's different. So when somebody's different, we tend to be like, oh, that I'm off of that guy. So I just try to take everybody for really who they are, man. And you develop a lot of good relationships that way.
That's pretty cool. You know, Nico, probably even before he checked in on me last year when I got traded. You know, he was talking about you, like how good of a person you are. And like he was saying, you guys would be on the bench, and he was just like, bro, I love talking life, baseball, anything with this dude. It's just like, you know, it's the way that he described it. It was just such like a, like something you don't see every day. And like for him to talk about something like that, you know, it really means a lot to him. He's a really intelligent person. And for him to notice that, especially at such a young age, you know, he's 23, 24, however old he is, you know, I mean, that goes a really long way.
Yeah, I was lucky. It makes sense. I was really lucky. I had really good veterans, and I had vets who literally told me, I mean, one of my favorite veterans of all time, Craig Monroe. I got called up when I was 20 years old, and they literally DFA'd him to open up a spot for me. And I remember being like, bro, I'm sorry. Like, here I am getting caught up to the big leagues. And I was like, bro, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean for this to happen. And he's like, bro, like, I'm going to eat. Like, I'm going to make my, like, I'm going to get mine. Like, and I've always, and I really appreciated that. And it made me think the same thing. You know, you got, because it's easy for a veteran guy to come in and like, man, screw this dude. Like, I ain't trying to help this, you know, but like, bro, I'm trying to win at the end of the day. Because when you win, nobody remembers how terrible you are. Like, winning cures every situation. Like, nobody talks about, oh, man, you know, you guys won it all, but you had a really tough year. No, they never said. They go, man, you did some things to help the team win that year. They don't talk about the bad shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, for me, it's like, am I trying to win, number one? And again, I was that young guy who got made to not be comfortable. You know, you see it every year. Young guys come up, and all of a sudden, why is this guy struggling? Because they come up, and they can't be themselves. They can't, you know, come in a little bit later like they did when they were in AAA, or the guy's scared to have his headphones on and shit. And it's just like, you can't take, you know, people's personality from them and expect them to go out and perform at a high level. So I always say, you know, when I'm a veteran, I'm not going to be, hey, Rook, go get me that bag of beer and all this goofy shit. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I always tell myself, when I'm a vet, bro, I'm going to try to, you know, make everybody, like, do your thing happen. If you get to the cage at whatever time you get there, that's you, bro. Like, don't think you got to show up, be the first guy at the cage, and do all this goofy shit that's not going to help you play. So I was always like, if I ever have the opportunity to make be a 10-year vet or whatever it is, I'm the dude that's going to be like, nah, like, do you, bro. Like, do what you need to do to get ready to play and ball out. Swag it up. Whatever you need to do, like, go out and play. Like, screw all that goofy stuff. You know what I mean? Like, why, you know, telling the guy, it's a 1 o'clock game. Like, why does he need to be there at 8:30? You know what I mean? Like, he's sitting at his locker exactly all fucking day because he's scared to get yelled at by some douchebag vet. And it's like, nobody wants to deal with that. Like, you know, so.
Dakota, how many times have we asked each other, like, hey, should I do this? Is this a bad look? Like,
I'm going to be honest. I remember at least my first spring. It's gotten better since then. But, like, my first spring, I was terrified. Like kind of like you said, like, not of, like, being made fun of, but just, like, didn't want to put a single foot out of line. So, I'm like, I'm going to get there earliest. I'm going to make sure I'm too early for everything. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. Like,
I'm tying my shoes that – both laces are the same exact
length. So that guy's so like, hey, man, hey, dude, why is that lace hanging so long, bro? Like, because, yeah. I mean, there's guys like that. And again, I think you guys are really lucky because those guys are kind of – those guys are, like, gone now, which is kind of – I mean, I don't mean great, but it was just the way the game was. But it kind of allows guys to be themselves, man. Like, I love the whole let the kids play. Like, that shit was – it was like, no, act like you've been there before. What are you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, run the bases when you hit a homer. Like, no, like, this is a kid's game. Like, why are we not having fun? Like, you know, so I'm not – be yourself. I'm all about being yourself. And I still do it. These guys yell at me. They're like, hey, bro, how many years you got? Like, relax. You're like, but again, that's the mindset that you get put in. It's like, I got to be there early. And, you know, like, Jock Peterson, like, bro, like, where you going? Like, yesterday, him and Happ are going to – I'm like about to leave to go to the game.
You were in full uniform, about to go to the game, an hour before I was even going to get in my car to drive over there.
Exactly.
It was amazing.
But it's good. It's like, it's the product of the environment. You know, it's like, I don't want to be the last guy there because they're going to be like, well, this guy don't have a hit this spring. Yeah, he's last. Like, you know what I'm saying? All the goofy stuff that we worry about, man. It's.
There was a moment yesterday where because it was a 110 start, and a 110 start will throw you off in spring training. So it was like 12:40, and I was the only person in the locker room. Every single person was out.
It was
locker.
Awesome.
I started panicking.
It was 12:50, and here comes Hap walking down. I mean, just sauntering down the steps. I'm gonna say salty. He was sauntering down the steps. He was, just sleepwalking, just getting hits and just getting knocks. I'm like, I'm taking that approach tomorrow. I'm not coming out to 12:58.
Yeah, hey, you should have saw him last spring when he was the reigning NL player of the week.
Dude's unbelievable, man. He is my new favorite player. I mean, easy. And host.
Just sleeping up there, taking ABs. Sleep. Just four pitch walk, start the game. I didn't have to get there. Hey. All I had to do was show up for that four pitch walk to lead off the game. It. Fine.
That's it.
Hey, how was he in the morning? Dakota and I witnessed it, you know, in camp and then living with him for a few months. Is he not all bright and perky?
Again, it's a little different. You know, when you got me in the locker room in the morning, bro, it's hard to be kind of bitter and down, man. Like, I'm coming in with too much energy in the morning. Not like overly like, hey, shut the hell up energy, but like, damn, Happer, you look great today. I told him the other day his aura was orange. I literally could see it. It was around him. He had an orange aura. Like, that's special. That's special shit right there, man. Like, not many guys are glowing when they walk into a room. So
I love that.
It's the first thing you see in the morning. How could you be upset? I have a cup of coffee and I see Cam's face. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know,
and he's telling you you're glowing. And you're like, it's gonna be a great day.
Now I just need somebody to fluff me a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Hap is the king at fluffing people. If you need
I
one,
love
he'll do
fluffing
it.
People.
You just got to let him know.
I was fluffing Cam all day yesterday.
He's the best.
Play with you. Just can't wait to watch you
he's
hit today.
Best. Yeah, him and Nico, they do it. Him and Nico are like my fluffers. They do a good job of picking me up. Riz.
Nico is like Hap's here when it comes to fluffing. Yeah. Nico is like
Nico's sneaky
here when it comes
he's,
to fluffing.
He, every day. He's like, Cam, are you just ready to rake today? I'm like, you know what? I wasn't until now. Fucking ready to go. Love some Nico.
Hey, Nico's been ready to rake every day.
Oh my God,
this
he's
year.
Incredible.
Best hitter on the plate. Just doesn't miss a barrel.
Best hitter in the game.
And we said that on the podcast, I don't know how many weeks ago, I told everybody that he was looking yoked. I saw him in Chicago this offseason. I told everybody he was looking very fit. He looks like a Greek god. And now he's in spring training. Everybody's saying, oh, man, Nico is so strong.
He's got the hair going, he's got the flow going right now. He's got a big league swag for sure right now.
I'm in on the hair. Zach doesn't like the hair. I like the hair. I think it fits.
I'm digging it, Zach. I'm digging it.
I like it.
I'm more of a clean cut. You can see right now I need one really bad. But I'm scared with all these maskless people down here in Florida.
There was two of the Indians guys. They got held out of camp because they went to a barber.
Back to the Nico thing really quick. Even if he didn't look as yoked as you said he is, like it was only a matter of time until this dude broke out again. He was one of the best hitters I've ever played with, and he was 15 in Double
A. He's a great athlete. He's a great hitter. Asking him to come up and play in September was insane. Yeah. And then asking him if in a messed up 2020 season to platoon, get 100 at bats, and then make a judgment on him as a baseball player at 100 at bats. Yeah. But he's just trying to help the team win.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make a whole lot of
sense. Learning how to play baseball at the highest level. Like, it's hard to hit in the big leagues. And it takes time to learn how to do all that and like how you're going to get pitched and how to handle different situations. Like, the whole thing is just, I mean, it's his first 2 years of his career have been crazy asks. Like, I'm very excited for him to have a full 162 to go out there and relax and get into a groove and go through April and May and the whole thing. And he hasn't been healthy for a few years. You know, even when he was in Double A, like, he didn't get enough at bats because getting hit in the hands and a couple little things. But like, I'm excited for him to have that full time to really get into the feel of the season. Cam, can we talk to you more about being 20 in the big leagues? I just don't understand.
Man,
like, I can't conceptualize it. I can't think about, because I got drafted at 20. And like, you know, when you're that old, you think you're ready. You're like, I can be in the big leagues tomorrow. Like, I'm so good. I'm awesome. And then you get around those guys and take BP with them. And you realize that like John Lackey and Jake Arrieta and Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant are 8 feet taller than you. And you don't even look like you're the same species. And then it takes a while. How did you at 20 years old go in and compete at that level?
Man, honestly, I was such a savage. Like my mindset was so savage. Like out of high school, so take you back real quick. So I got drafted, I think the year before they actually implemented that, the deadline. So I didn't play when I got drafted in 05. I didn't play that whole year. I was like, you know what? First time in my life, I'm going to take a spring break. I mean, you know, we play spring tournaments. We play summer. And I was like, man, I ain't signing until October, you know? So I was chilling, hanging out, you know, working out. And then my first year was 06, but going into that first year, I literally told myself, all right, I'm going to treat these next 3 years as if they were my college campaigns. So 18, I got 3 years for me to be in the big leagues. I'm going to treat it like, you know, these 3 years that I would have been in college, I'm going to give myself 3 years to play in the minor leagues, and then I want to be in the big leagues. So I was very much, I had a lot of tunnel vision, and I was lucky too, you know. 18, 19, I couldn't go out. I couldn't do anything. So I couldn't go to any bars. I couldn't go to any clubs. So it was literally eat, sleep, and drink baseball, dude. So, and again, I was just like so savage. I had goals. I, you know, that's when I really used to write my goals. I wanted to be a futures all-star and all this crap and all those games. And then you looked up, and again, this was a time too. I had Jim Leland. And Jim Leland, like, you know, the meeting, the first meeting of the year was like, you know, he's like smoking a cigarette. He's like, I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care how you look. I don't care how you dress. You're all grown ass men. Show up on time. I'm playing the fucking best. And that's it. And that's the meeting. Meeting over. And I'm like, bad. Like, I got a chance, you know? So that was at a point where, you know, with Tigers, it was like, if the kid's hot, let's move him. You know, let's move him. So you know, I did my whole first year in West Michigan, had an amazing year. And then the next year, I mean, I went to High, and I remember at High, Lakeland, all at the break, all these guys getting called up to Double A. Everybody going to the Double A right after the All-Star game. Now here I'm in Lakeland, and I'm pissed off. I'm like, these fucking guys, like, man, I should be in the big leagues. I'm in High, like, talking, like, I'm calling my dad, like, this is bullshit. Like, they're moving up this dude. Mind you, I'm 19. I'm like, bro, like, relax. So they called me up to Double. So I actually end up getting called up to Double A like a week after that. And this is probably, I've had some really streaky, like, hot moments in the game. So I go to Double A Erie, which is a great place to hit, by the way. It's like a really awesome high school field.
You must have not have been there in April then.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, not in April when it's freezing, right? So I go to Erie. In 6 days, I hit 7 homers.
Oh, my God.
Literally, I remember calling my dad. I was going, I don't know what the hell is going on, but I am locked in. And they called me like, hey, man, like, you're going to New York. You're going to play at the old Yankee Stadium. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, for real?
You caught up from Double A?
Coming from Double A, 6 days in Double A.
What the
fuck? Like, hey, you're going to After, Yankee Stadium.
You know, I'm talking shit. Literally, this is the best part about this. I'm like, cool, all right. Well, as I got to Double A, on my way to Double A, I lost my wallet. So I'm in Double A for 6 days with no money. I'm straight. Luckily, we had to do Anthony Tomey, whose family I think started Jimmy John's.
Jeez.
So I'm like money. Eating Jimmy John's. I'm like, you know, Anthony, look out for me, bro. Like, he's bringing me Jimmy John's sandwiches. I got no money. So they call me up. I'm in Reading, Pennsylvania. I got no idea. I can't fly to New York. My agent drives from New York to Reading, Pennsylvania, picked me up, drove me all the way back to Yankee Stadium. We get pulled over, like, trying to get to the game. Like, and this cop is like, you know, here I am with this, you know, white guy, this little Jewish-looking white dude, and I'm black kid in the front, braces, nappy. I mean, I had, like, this nappy little afro and shit. And he's like, where are you guys going in such a hurry? And he's like, yeah, I got to get, you know, got to get my client to Yankee Stadium. Like, he's making his debut today. And he's like, fuck, yeah, right, whatever. Take the ticket and slow it down. Like, no joke, bro. So get pulled over, get to the stadium. And, I mean, by that time, it was cool because all the guys are great. Granted, I'm talking about, you know, I had just turned 20 now. And it's cool. Like, I had good big league camp, whatever, in Yankee Stadium. I go out. This is cool. And then like I was great. And then once the game started and I came back out and the stadium was full, I was scared shitless, bro. And nobody remembers except for me. Oh, your debut was so amazing. You faced Roger Clemens, and I think I went 3 for 3. I think I hit a homer.
Stop it.
It was either 3 for 3 or 2 for 3. I hit a homer, hit and run, first hit. I think I stole 2 bags. And it was like, oh, you had this great debut. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't that great. Actually, I faced Andy Pettit and went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts and never saw a cutter before. And I was like, yo, I remember coming back to the dugout and I was like, buddy. And so I was talking like, buddy's throwing me a ball and it's moving like this much, but it ain't spinning.
It looks like a fastball.
I was like, what the fuck is that? They're like, yeah, that's called a cutter, young buck. Like, welcome to the fucking big leagues. And that's when I was like, oh, shit. Maybe I wasn't as ready as I thought I was. But, you know, so it was a humbling experience. And it was cool, too, because I got called up in August. Like, here it is looking back. Like, they could have waited a month to call me up. And they literally like, no, we want this kid now because we think he can help. So I actually spent the whole month of August and September in the big leagues the rest of the year. And then I was traded after that. But it was the coolest shit I've ever been a part of. Roger Clemens, I get first at bat. Jim Leland, brilliant. He tells me, hey, you got one pitch and second pitch hit and run. Like, fuck the third base coach. He's just like, hey, you got, because I was a little, I think he could tell I was nervous. I was tight. First pitch, fastball down the middle. Fucking couldn't swing the bat, bro. Now I'm like, now I got to swing, or else I'm going back to the minor leagues. Like, we in the big leagues. You hear your horror stories, like, miss a sign and I'm getting down, like, you're going back. So now I'm like, I have to swing. Hit and run, bro, with base hit, first swing. I'm like, this dude was brilliant. Like, he pretty much put me in a situation to make me have to swing the bat. You know what I mean? Like, he just knew the game, and it was cool. And so I got hit a homer, and then he hit me my next at bat on purpose.
That early, getting plunked?
What then he plunked me. Fuck? And I see him after the game. Weirdest thing about the whole day. After the game is over, we're coming like two opposite sides in the tunnels, and it's just me and Roger Clemens. And I'm like,
how old's Clemens at this time?
That's like, oh,
35. Yeah. I mean, oldest is towards
like 15 end. Years older than you.
Yeah, easily. And I'm like, literally, I could be your son. And I'm like, hey, Mr. Clemens, like, and he's just like, hey, man, just want to congratulate you on a great start, and I hope you have a great. It was like, oh shit, like he hit me. He was like, welcome to the big leagues moment, yeah. But he was like the nicest dude ever after that. Like, man, I want to wish you the best. Like, no hard feelings. Like,
you're like, why'd you have to hit me? Then?
And I'm like, fuck it, I'll take it. Like, shit, on base percentage, you know. But
and
it was
Clemens cool. Is massive.
Oh yeah,
a monster, bro. Literally, he's like this, to my, like, from back to chest.
Yes. His chest, his upper body and chest is so big. It's like, looks like a barrel. He is huge. He looks like
he's a monster. I watched you play in West Michigan in 06 because I'm from, like, I live like 10 minutes from Fifth Third Ballpark. And I remember going back in 07 and you weren't on the team anymore. I didn't understand how, like, minor league baseball worked. And I'm like, what the hell happened? Where'd he go? Like, he was their best player. Why would they get rid of him? And I didn't realize at the time that obviously you moved up, but I was like, why wouldn't they bring him back? Like, he was our best player.
What a great place to live too, by the way, Dakota.
Yeah, holy no, crap. I love it.
That may be the most fun I've ever had in professional baseball was in West Michigan.
Yeah, and imagine if you were 21 too.
You got a bunch of little, oh, bro, yeah. You got all of like, well, at least at the time, it was like four, like, all girls schools, mm-hmm. Like college. It was like, say, it was crazy.
Yeah, West Michigan's great awesome.
Great place to be.
I love GR.
And not to mention, you got 8,000 fans a night.
Yeah,
like,
they five, always, Whitecaps always get a lot of fans.
Yeah, it was sick.
So then, speaking of Yankee Stadium, what was the 2019 playoff like at Yankee Stadium? Well, because you were there in 70.
Yeah,
like
you know what?
There
it was crazy, man. It was crazy being on the opposite. You know, the opposite side, man. But it was real intense. I ain't gonna lie. It was really intense amongst the league. I think it would make – I don't know what was out there, spoken or unspoken. But, you know, these are my boys now. We're trying to – you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to win a championship. So we got to be really careful, you know, on what we're doing as far as you know, signs going into the catcher, because these guys are going to, you know, they're going to try to do everything they can to gain a competitive advantage. So it was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of like extracurricular, like banging from our dugout just to kind of screw with the opposing mindset. And it was crazy, man. It was so crazy to be on the other end of it. And just like all of the, I guess you could call it like uncertainty and just people nervousness in there, like, mm-hmm. you know, like dudes like this is the fastball. Like if I blink, if I look like something's in my eye, maybe it's a breaking ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like dudes trying to do everything they can to like hide and not give away signs. So it was an intense series, man. And
I think at that time in the game too, just in that year, the technology, everybody was skeptical of everybody because the technology was there, but it wasn't regulated.
Exactly.
So you had, every team had cameras and the ability, because the system like it is now, the Hawkeye system and all the cameras around all the ballparks, every team was investing resources heavily into cameras for performance, for seeing Absolutely. Swings and pitchers and you know, the way that the guys' mechanics were working. And so teams are investing so heavily in everything, and it's completely unregulated because nobody knows how the technology can be used. So mm-hmm. then everybody, as guys start to see, like, oh, I think we can see the catcher signs, or I think that, you know, I can see little things. Now everybody's starting to go, oh, if I can see it, that they can see it, and what are they doing with it, and what are we doing with it? And I think everybody
exactly.
is just looking around going, I have no clue what the rules are or what's happening, but God damn it, we have to have 18,000 signs because we can't let them take ours.
Yeah, big, and that's literally as simple as you can put it. And I'm not, again, never trying to defend that because it was wrong. But I think in the midst of it, it was like Haber said, it was so much going on, so much information, teams getting competitive advantages from all of the things that we have, all of the smart devices and all the angles and stuff like that. It was almost like they just wanted to, you know, be the best, you know, have the best competitive advantage. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, well, we think everybody's doing something, but like, how can we just make sure we just a little bit more, you know, efficient with it? I gotta, you know, this team, they do a great job. And when they get the second, they relay signs and they're giving signs. So like, how can we just stay in the mix of being competitive with doing that on top of competing? You know, that's why I gave these guys such credit from when they won the World Series in 2016, because, you know, coming here, realize they just been doing it all natural and it can be done, you know. But again, I give them a lot of credit for just going out and playing and doing it. When a lot of teams nowadays, you see it, like, we're always trying to figure out how can we get into a competitive advantage? What can we do to have a better, you know, approach at the plate or on the mound? You know what I mean? And it was, man, dude, it was a crazy, crazy situation to be a part of. Yeah,
and more than anything, teams were trying to protect themselves from other teams. And then you had that, you would look at the numbers across the league with runners on second base, and you would go like, oh my God, like these guys are hitting a billion with runners on second. Like,
yeah,
how are they getting to that point? We have to. And then you start to have teams get afraid and say, all right, we need to have – that's the pitching cards came in. You know, we need to have 12 signs. We need to be changing our signs every other pitch, because if we keep the same signs, guys are too good at picking up – run an algorithm to pick up a sequence on the way that the catcher is going to – because there's only so many sequences that everybody's used, and it's just how can we detect that. So that there's just so much that went into that. But I think from a league-wide standpoint, it's nice that I think we're to the point where we're past, everybody's so skeptical now that we're past being able to actually pick those things off.
For real.
I don't know how anything could be fishy anymore in today's game. Like, you have to be so discreet if you're doing something.
And the thing that was tough last year is they went so over the top with the signs that they took out in-game video. So now you're taking away from hitters having the ability to look at themselves and adjust in the game. And your eyes lie to you so often when you're up there, because you think a pitch is in one spot and it's in a different spot, or you think it moved one way and it moves a different way. And without that
checks and balances where you can go back and look and say, oh, okay, this isn't actually how it looked. And then your next at bat, hitters lost the ability to make those adjustments in game because of all the stuff that had happened previously. And it really affected some guys last year. So
I agree. It affected me. I mean, I like to see what my hip is doing. You know what I mean? I wanted to see if I'm flying open a little bit or if I'm pulling off the ball a little bit. And it has nothing to do with the pitcher. You know what I mean? So, and right. Phil can also, JD Martinez is huge. Phil can also create false perception. You know, sometimes I feel good, but it's not right. You know what I mean? So I need to see it. Like, right. I feel good, but I'm 0 for 20, so something clearly ain't right. You know what I mean? But you feel good. I'm just going to, like, nah, sometimes you need to actually see what's going on. So, and like you say, in the game, like, I don't need to wait till after my fourth at-bat to make this adjustment. I need to know the next at-bat what's going on, you know?
So. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know that, Dakota, you would be a better person to ask on this, but I don't know the pitchers are necessarily going down in between innings and going, I don't know if my stride's off from my, I'm releasing my changeup weird. I don't know the pitchers are using video, in-game video as much.
I mean,
I feel like it.
I definitely don't. Maybe starters are different. If you're throwing 6-plus innings, you might want to – I feel like you don't need video, though. Usually, like, that's what a pitching coach is for. Pitching-wise, it's easier to pick up. Like,
yeah, the pitching coach and the catcher are probably telling you, like, right?
This or that. Like, it's pretty easy to pick up, like, when you got a catcher, pitching coach, all that, like you said. I don't think too many guys are using video between innings anyway, pitching-wise at least.
Yeah, and as a hitter, a lot of guys have a timing mechanism that they're trying to, like, hey, when this guy's hands break, I need to start moving. Or when this guy lifts his leg, like, I need to get going.
Yeah.
So when you go back and you look at the video in between at-bats and you're like, oh, shit, he's releasing the ball and I haven't picked my foot up. Like, those are in-game adjustments that you make that guys didn't have the ability to do last year, which I think is really difficult. But luckily this year we're going to have that back. And I think that they, you know, they've made adjustments. They've put a black box around where the catcher's signs are. Like, they've done things to mitigate some of the issues that we had in the past. But I think you'll see over the course of 162, a system that can probably be taken into the future and actually works with where technology is in the game now.
For sure. Mm.
You guys have anything else for Cam? I don't know if you know this about Cam, too, is Cam's entire family is absurdly athletic. Cam has, like, NFL cousins. How many – what?
Yeah.
List off – how many professional athlete family members do you have?
Man, currently right now, myself, my little cousin is actually a free agent right now. He's been with the Detroit Lions the last 4 seasons. At a University of Tennessee.
What's his name?
Is Dakota.
Jalen Reeves, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Linebacker.
No, he's an ex-ball. Yup. His father played at Louisville for 4 years under Denny Crum back in the day. That's them. Then I have Rashad McCants, who was a UNC legend, played for the Timberwolves, lottery pick. His sister, also WNBA, like, lottery pick. I had my other cousin retire from the NFL a few years ago. His name was Aaron Maben, went to Penn State, defensive end. He's a monster. So you played for the Bengals.
You had no choice but to make it to the big leagues. Like, once you got drafted, like, you have to make it.
I had to do something, man. I'm still the best athlete in the family, though. That's right. So they all know that. A couple of them are way bigger than me. Don't get me wrong. There's some monsters, though. But and then my oldest cousin has been the captain of the Harlem Globetrotters for, like, the last 10 years.
Way.
His name is Holly Chris Bruton. So, bro, it's crazy. Crazy.
That's unreal.
That's so sick.
Those are some athletic genes, if I've ever heard. Zach, your brother's playing college baseball. You guys, same thing, right?
I was going to say, wow, I thought my family was pretty athletic. We have 3 collegiate baseball players, but Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty
my
sick.
Sister ran track in high
sweet.
School.
That's sweet, though, bro.
That's about it.
Man, it's been so great to have you on. I'm glad we could finally
come
do
back
this.
On. Can I come back on again?
Yes.
Maybe. Can I get another bottle of whatever I was drinking?
We're gonna get another bottle of Parse for you, and it's gonna be in your locker.
Get that Parse.
Cam, did you hear during the game yesterday the people behind home plate yelling Parse? When I say Parse, you say rum.
Yeah,
Parse?
I didn't know. Okay. Okay, that's the way you're going.
I swear to God, during the game, remember my second at bat yesterday, they're chanting. Behind home plate, there's all.
Yeah, I heard that.
The fact you didn't hit a bomb.
When I say Parse, you say rum. I heard that. Yeah. That was pretty good.
let's do screen time with Cam before we go. Let's see if he has.
Oh no.
My phone's dead.
I got a high one today.
I got 2 hours on the dot. You go to settings and then it's like your maybe eighth one down.
2 hours and 5 minutes.
Jeez. That's gonna be by far the lowest.
I was 2 hours on the dot.
Oh my god.
What does that mean?
It means that's how much you're on your phone today.
Oh,
nice. I got 5 hours 54.
5 hours 54 minutes.
We're on Eastern Time Zone. We're 2 hours ahead of you.
So what are we shooting? What are we shooting for?
Well, the lowest.
We're trying to get the time down.
Yeah, whoever's on their phone the least is the winner.
Oh damn! You got 2 hours.
I got 2 hours even. So damn. we were about the same today.
Zach, you got to be higher than me. You would have been happy otherwise. You definitely are higher than me.
Zach on quarantine. So he's locked in.
Zach's over six.
Six plus. Oh my goodness. Cam, thank you so much. I can't. We're going to come back on. You'll be a repeat guest.
I have to. I got to come back on if you guys.
We can promise 100%. That one.
Yes. This was better than I ever 100%. Expected.
Zach or Ian already said he likes you more as a co-host and a teammate. Like you've replaced Zach.
No, well. Zach. Listen, Zach. One thing. Meeting you. This is all you, bro. I'm gonna let you have it. I was gonna slide in until I met you. I was gonna try to slide in and see if I could, but. I like you, bro. I don't care what Ian says about you. You're right with me, man.
That's episode 53.
You plant
Dakota?
One tree in the Colombian rainforest for every bottle of Parserum. I didn't know actually that it was in the Colombian rainforest.
People,
that's something I learned.
When
we don't know if that's true.
A bottle of Parserum, how many trees you plant in the Colombian rainforest?
Plant a tree somewhere. Somewhere they're planting a tree. Yeah.
I might have just made that up. But if you do definitely plant a tree in Colombia,
you plant a tree somewhere.
Yeah, and so that's all that really matters. I don't know. We don't really have that much video, but I'm wearing an Obvious shirt today, and there was just a massive order of Parse Obvious shirts that came in. So I think there might be some Obvious shirts coming to the ballpark for the boys. But
need me a shirt? I need to get rid of this Cuts T-shirt.
Yeah, because we can't be promoting Cuts anymore.
And just saying.
That's episode 53 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. We'll see you next week.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.